my story actually starts having been adopted. And as I look back, and I might be getting ahead of myself a little bit, but as I look back, God had his hand on me even before I was born, type of thing, you know, considering adoption and foster families and think stories you hear about that and whatnot and whatever. But the point is, I believe God also has everyone's life in their hand. But nevertheless, I was adopted. My parents that adopted me were Jewish. My father was Jewish. My mother was a Seventh-day Adventist. She had actually been brought up in a Catholic home, my grandfather converted to Seventh-day Adventism probably when he was about, when she was about 5 or 6 years old. But they became very strong Seventh-day Adventists. And my parents, they adopted me, and they wanted some type of moral background, some type of religious training. Neither of them were really strong in their faith. So we were exposed to Judaism. We were exposed to Seventh-day Adventism. We would go to church periodically. And it was a sense that I knew there was always a God, you know, but it was more of, I wouldn't say it was a deep relationship. I would just think it was just, it was a good luck charm. It was kind of like a rabbit's foot kind of faith, you know. It's like, oh God, something's going wrong. I need to pray. And then it was also a sense of always feeling like I was disappointing God. I was never measuring up. God was always scowling. And it's like, you did that again wrong. You did that again. There's no way I'm going to bless you. And that was kind of like my faith growing up. And let me just fast forward then to college. So I went to the University of New Hampshire. And there at most colleges, they have what's called like a freshman week. And they have all the student groups kind of put out a table and kind of expose you to the different things. They had, you know, the ski team, and they also had, you know, the rugby team, and they also had like chess club, things like that. They also had Campus Crusade, which is a Christian organization. And I don't even recall, but I must have signed up and said, sure, I'd like to know more about Christianity. And probably a week or so later, I hear this knock on my door, and this gentleman comes in, these two people come in, and they said, hey, you signed up to learn more about the gospel. Do you have a moment? And it was kind of awkward, a little nervous. My roommate was there, who I was just getting to know as well, and it's like, yeah, I suppose so, you know, and it's like, I'm not going to say no. And they came down, and they basically, some of you may have heard of the four spiritual laws. They went through this booklet of four spiritual laws with me. And, you know, that God loves you and he has a wonderful plan for your life. And the thing that captured me or caught my attention was a little diagram in the back. It had a circle in it, which is kind of represents your life. And then it had a little chair or a little throne. And there's two pictures. One was a picture of you sitting on the throne. And then there was a picture of the cross sitting on the throne. And he goes, which one are you? And it's like, I'm the one where I'm sitting on the throne. That's me. And he says, yes, that's right. You're sitting on the throne of your life, and Jesus, the cross, is outside of it, right? He said, yeah, exactly. He's like, well, what Jesus wants is he wants to be seated on the throne. And I said, oh, I see. And he says, so what would prevent you? Are you interested in putting Jesus on the throne of your life? And as a freshman, I was like, no, I'm not going to put Jesus on the throne because I knew that cost too much. I didn't want to give up my life for Jesus. And so I continued with my freshman year and, you know, did all the things that freshmen do. And meanwhile, so I finished my freshman year and I come home to my hometown, which is in Worcester, Mass. And there was a church being started in my neighborhood. And these people were going door to door just saying, hey, we're starting a church. We just wanted to let you know that it's right in your neighborhood. And if you're interested, you're more than welcome to come by. And for again, another reason I don't really understand, but I said, sure, I'll go to a Bible study. And I ended up going to this Bible study where they basically told Bible stories that I had heard all my life. So it wasn't like there was a fresh revelation of knowledge. But what was powerful was, like, probably 2 months into these Bible studies, these weekly Bible studies, this real bold guy, he actually was an ex-NFL player, a quarterback, so he's got that type A personality. He just kind of put it to me. He said, you know, you've been coming to these meetings, and I don't think you've ever given your life to the Lord. Do you want to accept Jesus as your Savior? And again, one of those things, like, I don't remember saying it, but I said, yeah, sure, I would do that. And I started opening my mouth and confessing my sin, and tears just were pouring down my face. It was, and I was like, outside of myself, it's like, what is going on here? I'm crying and I'm releasing this, and there's a sense of freedom and washing. But at the same time, it was like I was looking at myself, what is going on? So it was this weird sensation, but I definitely felt this purification, this cleansing, and this presence of God. And the truth is, my story doesn't end there. That was what actually triggered the whole the ultimate meeting of God. But I also would add that significant to this story was the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which didn't take place for another year or two. I can't remember exactly. I'd have to look back in my diary. But it wasn't until a couple years later that... It's almost like when Paul's saying, did you receive the baptism of John, or did you baptize in the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And it's like, well, we received the baptism of John. It's like, yeah, I got baptized, but I never got the Holy Spirit. And then there was an opportunity where a friend of mine, David Rogers, if any of you know that, from the church up in New Hampshire, spent some time praying with me, and I just was filled with the Holy Spirit, and my walk with Jesus was so much sweeter. And it wasn't a performance-based relationship. There was intimacy, there was fatherhood, there was acceptance there, and there was a willingness to be obedient. It wasn't a checklist kind of Christianity. So that's essentially my story, and I would just encourage you, for those of you who know Jesus but don't necessarily feel like He's your Father, I just, again, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I think that that's what I came to learn. So, amen.